that has big time camp. What the movie will be the ultimate champ. You might be finger crazy, my finger diseased, but do you watch another chance to find the best of this?
We rate each movie in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality.
It's Stan, Gene, Jack and Nick who watch it till it's finished, because the love for this movie can be diminished. And make the film's plot has no rhyme or reason, but that's a part of charm.
Colin Brad is off the season.
It's low budget film that is most true. They find a flick that monster boogaloo.
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Yuck Mala, Yuck Mala. Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and I am super happy to be with you today to talk Season 13, which is Days of Future Past. And joining me in the future, or the past, whichever one you prefer, is my friends, and I have, or my acquaintances, or my associates, or my people that talk on a regular basis. Anyways, I have Jack Hall.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
I hate how I never know what order you're going to us in. It's fun.
That's part of the enjoyment to this whole thing.
Oh, man.
And who's it going to be? It's Nick Boxer.
That is a mega Nick Boxer from now on.
Omega Nick Boxer.
Because it makes more sense than adding this Omega to the title of this movie.
And let's see, under Mega we have James Cotta.
I'm just happy that I didn't have to have seen Alpha Cop through Theta Cop to understand Omega Cop.
That is so true, so true. Yep.
Like you said, you understand
stands alone.
Omega
Cop. Yeah, stands alone.
Yeah, for sure. I get, because that's the thing, right? Like, I mean, perhaps one of those Alpha through Theta would have helped us understand why he was the Omega Cop. But, you know, I mean, watching too much, I think you just don't need that kind of preamble for a movie such as this.
Is anyone actually 100% sure he was a cop?
Yes, that's okay. 100%
sure. I
thought
maybe he was a military man of some sort.
Nope.
I mean, the hat screams cop, but other than that, I wasn't 100% sure.
All right, well, now...
Wait, he's a cop of the future.
Yes. And, of course, speaking of the future, the days of future past, well, you know, James, please, fill us in.
Yes, so this season, Days of Future Past, we are watching movies that took place in the future when the movie was made, but the year that it takes place in has now passed. So in the case of 1990's Omega Cop, the far distant future of 1999 is when this film took place.
Obviously.
And how things were different.
Oh my, were they ever. Oof.
It's the Los Angeles area. It's basically the same.
Yeah,
they pretty much got it right.
Yeah,
no, it's true. It's the Los.
The only
Angeles
person you rely on, the only person you rely on is Adam West. So, they got it. They got that right.
Who else was waiting for the heel turn from Adam West that never really came in this movie?
He started out as a heel. it wasn't like he was good. I mean. And obviously, I mean, we'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. So for now, the next person we need to hear from is Nick Boxer.
And it's always the next person we need to hear from, no matter what.
Alrighty. Here's what happens in this movie. After the Great War, Jack Travers, a mega cop, is living in a bunker with the last vestiges of the United States government. Now, Omega Cop and his team is sent out from the bunker to stop some white slavers and bust up a whorehouse. Him and his team go out, and the rest of his team is immediately killed by the bad guys. That's really all that needs. They're scavengers or something. Doesn't matter. Every time Jack stops his car, a beautiful babe jumps in, and she's with him for the rest
John,
of the movie.
His name is John, not Jack.
John? Oh,
Jack
sorry.
Should know.
Okay.
Just call him Travis, because the one time she calls him Johnny, he goes, it's John Travis. It's... Okay, Travis. It's
Travis, John Travis.
it's Travis, John Travis. So yeah, she just, like, you just call him Travis.
Okay. Travis and his increasingly large harem, you know, just sort of drive around and try not to get killed by the bad guys. There's this whole thing with solar flares causing some sort of plague that causes people to go a little bit nuts, but never in the same way. The only way you can tell what's going on there is they have lots of black makeup on, although I think there's a couple characters who are not infected also with black on their faces.
just because you're exposed, you may not be affected.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's a sunspot that should have infected him, but he hid under a truck, so I didn't understand any of that.
Cover.
Yeah. And Adam West occasionally gets on the radio and, you know, tells him to kill the bad guy. I would really like to say this is, like, a little heavier in plot than exactly what I said, but no.
Probably less.
A mega cop leaves the compound, kills a bunch of bad guys, and... there's girls. The end.
So what did this film teach you guys?
I think that you're going to do a lot more walking in the apocalypse than you were expecting. Because everyone seems to be out for a stroll on this film.
There's strolling and running. Yes, you're going to have to do a lot of that. And
the bad guys go from their compound to the hero's compound walking together, so it can't have been more than, like, you know, half hour, 45 minute, because they didn't bring snacks, like, they're just
now if the bad guys drove, would that mean they would have got girls? Is that why girls were really hanging out with Travis?
Well, he didn't try to rape them. And in these movies, that's how you can identify.
This film only had the one rape attempt.
That's how you can identify the
hero. For a movie for us, that's pretty good.
That's always how you can identify the hero in these films.
They did say the blonde was raped by our main bad guy. But we didn't see it. It was only alluded to.
Yeah. So, okay, 1.5 rapes. Better still. Far
and we actually don't know it was rape. It could have been consensual sex, because, you know, that bad guy was attractive. She should.
What do I call him? Gay.
She could have just.
I called him Gay Bar Danny Trejo. Is that the guy you're talking about?
Yep. I just called the Mustache Man.
Mustache Man. That's good. Yeah.
I thought, like, especially when you see them at the auction right off the top, I was just like, dude, it's like the Village People of Bad Guys.
Yeah.
Because like, the one bad guy who I thought might have been the main bad guy was Ultimate Warrior with a bad wig, and then of course you've got the gay bar villain. So I mean, woof, there was definitely something going on with this movie. What I learned was that obviously every gun must get really hot. Really hot to the touch, because Omega Cop did not want to keep a gun on his person after he fired it.
Yeah, actually, at one point, he actually stops in the middle of the action to put down his gun.
Yes.
And carefully place it on the pavement before running into battle.
But at the same time, guns also grow on trees, because he never is without a gun, despite the fact that I don't know where he's getting them, because he keeps leaving them places. So unless he maybe I'm filling in here, but maybe he likes to just go back and pick up those guns after they've cooled off.
I think he's anti-gun. I think there's a subtle anti-gun statement in here, because he solves everything with his feet.
That's right.
I learned in the future, hats are a very rare and valuable resource. And
it's true. He needed that hat.
And I learned that if you need to fill out some time and make a movie longer, the best way to do it is to have an unathletic kid get chased on foot by an unathletic guy for 474 days straight.
I estimated 75 minutes that he spent chasing
the kid. You know, and so the movie that I come back to when I think of this much walking and running is The Almighty Thor by The Asylum, because never have I seen a movie before, you know, like, that was the movie that I liken this to, where it's just like, man, you do a lot of walking. Yes. And any movie that does this much walking really is trying desperately to fill time.
It's trying desperately to fill time, for sure.
Did you learn anything, Nick?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Even though last episode you said that you know, like, that you were saving it all for Omega Cup. I mean,
I learned if you drive, you get girls. I learned that even a post-apocalyptic type future, that doctor's offices are really nice and no one's going to, you know, mess anything up. And, you know, you still have all the doctor's knickknacks and stuff.
And I guess we also learned that you know, solar flares are really bad.
They're bad. We don't see it, but we learned it.
We see one, you know, off the top, where oddly enough, everybody looks at it, and yet nobody winds up any the worse for wear, except for the doctor, who is in the middle of a room but can see it, and suddenly gets really dirty. That's basically, solar flares make people dirty. That's another thing that I've learned from this movie. And crazy, you know.
Yeah, don't trust people who are slightly dirty around the edge of their face.
Yeah. His hands were not clean at all.
That's right.
Well, you know, they don't have enough water to wash. So, you know, getting dirty is a real problem. Maybe that's why they didn't want to let Travis back into the bunker. Because he might be dirty.
Oh, and I learned something else. I learned something else. That if you are stuck in a bunker, if you are the only woman stuck in a bunker, you will absolutely flirt or accept any man that is in that bunker at any given moment.
Oh, yeah. I dare you to look into Adam West's eyes in this movie and not immediately fall in love and say yes to his proposal. I mean, that's some decent cheesecake right there.
Oh, those dulcet tones of Adam West. If he was my commander calling orders over the microphone, I'd do anything he wanted. Except come back to the bunker, which he insists you never do.
my big question then about the bunker is, what was the point of the bunker? Because it's not like they seem to be, like, having a good life in the bunker. Like, I thought, oh, okay, there's a cop. They've got to go and they're going to go deal with the slavers. That's cool. That's great. So then he's out there, but it's just like, okay, well, you can't come back in because you've been exposed to solar flare. And so meanwhile, everybody else in the bunker, though, like, once they get to the end and everybody's going out to the bunker, it's like, no, don't come back to the bunker. We don't have any food. Everybody left. And it's just like, so what the hell good is the bunker other than avoiding the solar flare? Really, there's no...
Yeah, you make it sound like that's not enough.
Yeah, but apparently it is.
I actually like how, you know, it's taking place in that time period, you know, people still remember that things used to be better. But, you know, the government's trying, or somebody's trying to, you know, keep things going, but it's all falling apart. Usually we get movies like things are good and they're going to get worse, or but there's hope, or it's all over and it's a free for all. This happens like right in the middle, right at the like the inception point of the end of the world. I thought that was odd. I don't think I've seen that before.
All right. It's one of those like takes place 15 minutes in the future kind of movies. Yeah, that it's like it's gone wrong, but it's not like it's still recognizable and everyone remembers when it was less sucky. Because it's only like 9 years. They only put it 9 years ahead. Yeah, except the girls he goes with who would only be like, you know, 8 when things went wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And who don't remember swimming pools and the like. Like, yeah. What? What is this thing you speak of? But meanwhile, in the future of 1999, the oldies is on a cassette. You know, it's kind of like,
The generic oldies they found for this movie, that was some special piece of work.
Hey, I enjoy the music of the Beach Guys and
the Beach Fellowship. Yes,
I love this tape of public domain music that I found.
Yeah, this was that music was, hey, do you like the oldies? And then you're like, okay, what are we gonna get? And then he starts playing it and you're like, am I really hearing what I'm hearing? like it's like California, Sun City, California. You know, it's just like this.
There surreal. Is something perverse playing a song called Summertime, you know, in a movie where the sun will kill you.
That's true. I hadn't thought of it that way. Good point.
That's dark.
And I like how they use that line a couple of do you like oldies? They pulled that chestnut out a couple of times.
That's a throwback, is what that is.
That's right. Good stuff.
Remember that time earlier in the movie where he said, "Listen to oldies." He's gonna do that again.
Well, and you know, and thankfully they were also kind enough to include a flashback for us so that we wouldn't forget what happened 45 minutes ago in the movie. Yeah. You know. From
that is, in all honesty, I came pretty close to forgetting what happened 45 minutes ago in the movie. So
I always cheer when that happens. It's one of my favorite tropes is flashbacks in the movie to the same movie. And this one even includes the cherry on top is that it includes shots that he wasn't in. So he's having flashbacks to things he did not see.
I never thought about that. Yes. That's fantastic.
That is part of my notes. The fact that it's just like, wait, that's not your point of view. That, you know, like you are having a flashback to looking at your face, right? Like, and you are having a flashback to things that you weren't near. Right? How does this work?
That's spectacular. Now that you pointed that out. This now has become the greatest movie of all time. Based fully on that.
I love it. It's one of my favorite tropes. All right we're probably done this part.
Because I feel like there's going to
I don't
be some.
I want to go through the actual storyline any further because there isn't one.
There isn't one. Yeah, like I mean, we understand what it is. So there's no need to worry about that.
All right. In our search for the ultimate B-movie, we rate each film in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category is called schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
There's, you know, again, this is, you know, Omega Cop. You know, he's the toughest cop alive because he's the only cop alive. He's also the worst cop.
Well, the other 3 cops with him are killed.
Yeah, well, because they're all...
They're probably in the building where what's his name is, but you know,
be Delta Cop and Theta Cop and Epsilon Cop
and Epic Fail Cop. Yeah, but I mean, because they are all the worst cops in the world. Oh, God. Like it's
they are terrible. Yeah.
And frankly, Omega Cop is terrible too because he's just standing there with a gun, watching his partners get killed and not actually shooting anybody. It's like, no!
Yeah. Hey, man, if you were in a firefight like that and, you know, didn't think it necessary to take cover, you might be a little preoccupied, too. Because, you know, nobody takes cover. No one, you know, ducks. Everyone just stands there and shoots each other.
So yeah, like this concept of the toughest cop and who's obviously the Omega cop, like, you know, there's some
supposedly legendary, right?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's heard of John Travis, John Travis, and so I think, you know, he's too tough. He doesn't need a gun. He can kick and he can punch, and you know, swing and miss with the best of them. So overall, I'm going to have to give it a 7 because like it just feels like he's schlock.
Yeah, I think 7 is a fair score. It's a little generic for my particular schlock taste. I would like it a little bit more over the top. But yeah, he's a cop, he's a mega. It takes place in a post-apocalyptic type future. 7, fair score.
I'm going to go slightly less, but echoing a lot of that, I'll go 6. Because it is just a generic action film that they say takes place in the future and then have no proof of. And you know, it's just, like, it's more of a low-budget generic action film than it is a schlock classic like Samurai Cop, right? So, yeah, 6 is that's a fair one.
I think I'm mostly in agreement with the group here. I would say a 7, except Adam West automatically adds 2. So
that's true. He does to everything he does.
So and I want to keep coming back to Adam West because he's the heart and soul of this movie.
I was wondering watching this movie. I was like, how high was he during this film? he looks like he's in one room. He never leaves it, looks completely bored, and just looks stoned out of his mind.
an 8 for me. More heart than budget. And we have no reported budget.
No. These are two movies in a row with surprisingly little info about.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, to me, I mean, here's the thing. Like, if you watch the credits of this movie, you will see that all of this was shot in Stockton, California. All of this was shot like at the Stockton Auto Wreckers. It was, you know, like all these various things. Like, they just were really good at taking existing locations and just, you know, using them as locations. And then we come to Adam West, the man that basically just did absolutely nothing through the entire movie. Thankfully, he's Adam West, but there's no question that if anybody was phoning it in, it was Adam West asking for his paycheck.
Is it the most phoned in performance we've had yet?
he's literally phoning.
Yeah. No.
It's true. Like, Cameron it's not the first Mitchell. Movie we've had where, it's not the first movie we had where they clearly only had the guy for a day and but does he phone this in? Like, does he top Lindsay Lohan for the most phoned in performance?
I think he tops them because he doesn't at any point stand up.
I think he might be standing at the top, but that when he walks in, but then that's it. Like, you could easily see that they could have shot his entire thing in probably about 2 hours because they didn't bother lighting the room. So it's just like you can just like drag it all out and we're good. You know, there you go. So yeah, like, I can't give this one a high score. I can only go with a 4.
You know, I'll go a little higher just because I enjoyed the film. 5. And just because we were talking about it, wouldn't it be awesome if that room Adam West was in was actually his rumpus room? So he didn't even have to leave the house to film this movie?
I think more like his wine cellar.
It doesn't matter. Just I like to imagine that this movie was filmed in his house because he didn't want to drive across town or go to Stockton.
Seems likely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What'd you give it again there, Stan? 4?
That was correct, 4.
Four seems about right. I was disappointed. This is another movie. It's like I had such high expectations. And there's a couple things that, you know, but for most of it, I'm just like, it's just a movie. So, there's nothing where I went, wow, how did they pull that off for the, you know, for what they were doing? Or, you know, or I thought, oh, man, they really are believe they're making something like Miami Connection. They thought they were making something special. They did, not the way they expected, but they thought they were making something special. Really wanted to show off those martial arts. This movie, it's just like we have an idea and like $50 lying around. Let's make a film.
I agree with all of that, but changing their perspective to, you thought to hire Adam West for this job. You were like, I can get fucking Batman. I can afford to get him for one day. So I got to get the most out of having 1960s Batman for one day. So 7 for me.
Yeah. And that's what they gave you was one room and him talking on a microphone.
And you can only see time passing because sheets of paper get laid over the computer as time goes on. It gets slightly darker. There's fewer people in the room and like slightly more messy. That's the only way to tell time is passing. Also, Adam West reclines more as the film goes on. He just keeps sliding down in his chair. Every time you come back to him, he slid a little bit further down. Yeah. What the fuck moments is the next category.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So yeah, I mean, there's obviously so many points, like, with him throwing away his gun. I mean, the solar flares, that's what the fuck. Some of the things, so like, the time passing moment of after Omega Cop saves the, or, you know, gets all his other cops killed, he goes back to the Jeep. And it's just like, no, you can't come in. And so then the next thing you know, he's wearing a totally different set of clothes, looks perfectly good for, you know, having spent a week out, you know, and is still driving around in the Jeep. And now it's just like, oh, now I'm going to find that girl. But nobody else has changed. Everybody else looks exactly the same. And it looks like they just pulled the girl from where she was. And, you know, but meanwhile, he's lived a week in this time, so that was a little odd. The fighting in this movie, and especially in some of the earlier scenes, there's times when fighting looks like fighting, and there's times when fighting looks like it's choreographed to hell. And this fighting looked like it was choreographed to hell because there was no chance that anybody was actually really coming close to hitting anybody else.
It's funny because, you know, that guy, the actor, I mean, was apparently one of the all-time great karate experts.
Which you would never get from watching him.
Never,
never at all. When they, so that one point they're to hide out, they're going to the locker room at a stadium. And inside the locker room, for some strange reason, there's a skeleton sitting at the, you know, on the bench. And it was just like, I'm not sure what that skeleton helps to prove other than it's fun to look at. Of course, Omega Cop needs his damn hat. Omega Cop gets his exercise with the longest run ever. You know, what I loved is when the doctor went crazy, his performance in that moment was like, this was a man who felt like he wanted to be Cameron Mitchell for a day because he put on the, like,
Cameron Mitchell would have been so good in that role.
Must kill me because I have a solar flare. You know, this insane performance, which I absolutely love. Another thing, Omega Cop, he doesn't do anything just once, like whether it's putting down the gun or whether it doesn't matter. He also fights dirty a lot. There is no question that when it comes down to fighting, Omega Cop's going to kick in the nuts every time out.
He solves the things with his feet, that is for sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, of course, we talked about the harem, and then and of course, the wonderful flashback, not from his perspective. So overall, this is pretty high. I'm going to give it an 8.
Yeah, I am so glad you mentioned the fight choreography, because it is insane at times. I mean, sometimes, like, one of the girls just taps a bad guy and he goes flying across the room. It's quite spectacular. I found that hilarious. There's a bunch of little odd things like this. Like, when he gets the cassette of the oldies, it's delivered to him in an envelope left in his glove compartment. Who puts a cassette in it, like a normal manila envelope? I thought that was, like, just strange. Also, they go out of their way a lot to point out he's old in this movie. There's the cassette tape. There's a conversation later in the movie where one of the girls just walks up to him and says, "So, you're old." and they talk about it for a while. Strange. Also, I'm not sure the ending we got was supposed to be like a dream sequence, because throughout the movie, everyone talks about, like, you know, their fantasy place that's supposedly better than here. And one of them's a lake in Michigan, and that's where they end up. So I'm kind of wondering if he died in the explosion, that was his reward, and it was just a dream sequence, or, you know, heaven or something, but it was just sort of incompetently tacked on the end. Also, it's kind of WTF that, you know, I'm still trying to figure out the motivations of the bad guys, because I don't understand why anyone did anything in this movie. 8 is about right.
I got a 7. I will tell you the motivation of the bad guys. He's essentially a pimp. And, you know, a slave trader, right? So, I mean, just...
Yeah, but not a lot of slave traders drink blood.
Okay, I forgot about that. Yeah, no, he's just trying to... I think he's just trying to pop his... You know, he's trying to pump his guys up. You know, let's all have a round, guys, of blood to get ourselves.
See, you have the slave trader angle, and I get that part. But at the same time, I was kind of wondering if he was infected by the sun. They were all invented by the sunspots, and they were vampires because of the whole Omega Man correlation. Were they trying for something in that zone?
Sure. Why not?
See, I mean, you could read it that way. It's just so incompetent that you really don't know. Because they include, like, how else do you explain that whole blood drinking thing?
He just wanted to prove that he was tough.
The problem is, you feel you need to explain that whole blood drinking thing. What did I say? You guys had I have 7. For me, it's all about the hat. It's all about, you know, he loses his hat that he has, you know, the cop hat, the SWAT team member hat or whatever. And they see some guy with his hat, and so he just assumes that's his hat. And he's like, "Hey, that's my hat." The guy's like, "You know, how do you know it's your hat?" And he's like, "If it's not my hat, it's a hat just like my hat." I'm like, "Well, then it's not your hat." So he's, you know, doesn't mean you just get to take it. You can't prove it. And the other guy won't give up the hat because hats are so valuable. And it's just like the most surreal scene, just so clearly so he could beat up 6 guys at once and look impressive. Like, it's the most incredibly WTF scene to me. And so unintentionally hilarious. I loved it. So 7 for me.
I think, so at one point our hero goes back to, he's trying to get inside the bunker. And the bunker is overrun by solar flare zombies. So he's talking to Adam West, and he's like, Adam West is like, "You can't let, you know, like, if you open the door, they're all coming in." And he's like, "Okay." And our hero says, "I'm going to buy you some time." So he takes a rifle and he shoots like two of the solar flare zombies, and then drives away.
Yes.
And I'm like, how much time do you think that bought? they might chase you a few feet, and then they're like, okay, back to business as usual, trying to get into Adam's bunker.
But, and then the thing is that you also have to understand, he seemed to spend an inordinate amount of time driving to a place that was really only 20 feet away.
Yeah. Like, everyone else walks to the spot that he keeps driving.
Well, I'm glad he was able to get so much gas, because in the future, yeah, apparently that's not a problem to get.
No, well, but and that's the weird thing, right? Is that on Wikipedia, it says unradiated water, gasoline, and women have become precious resources. At the beginning of the movie, in the slaver, this beautiful woman who he's trying to sell off, who is not getting any bids whatsoever, and he's like, I'll throw in 5 gallons of gasoline. Well, I know none of you have cars, but, you know, it's gasoline. You can't trade it for a woman. And I'm like, wait.
No, but he said you could trade it for water. I like at the end, they jump in that lake and the girl's like, how is it? How's the water? And he goes, it's clean. I'm like, how would he know? Unless you do some tests.
Because it's not in Stockton, California. I mean, it probably is, but it's like, but yeah, like oh, it's like, it's just chock full of those moments where it's just like, you didn't care to think about this at all, did you? You just, it's just like, sure, this is the future.
At one point, Travis is, he's trying to help a poor shopkeeper. Shopkeeper used to sell guns, doesn't sell guns anymore. And, these bad guys come in and they're like going to rough the play. They're going to like rough him up looking for the guns. Then it turns out he does have guns. So, you know, big twist. Travis picks up this weird looking gun that has 6 barrels on it.
Nope. Actually, that wasn't from the shop. Travis had that.
Oh, was that, it was Travis. He just had that on him.
He had that in his bag, the bag that he left there.
I disagree. I think he had that. I think that was.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I think it was in the shop.
No, wait a minute. He uses it. Like, I watched this last night. I'm pretty damn sure that he used it earlier to because he pulled it out when he was fighting the bad guys. You know, when he got the woman in the first place.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. When he gets the first girl.
Well, I'm talking about the blonde, not when he was in the shop. And he, because he brought a bag of, you know, I assume weapons into the shop. That's all. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, we've already talked longer than they did.
So he fires this gun that manages to take out 4 people who are distanced apart in one shot.
Luckily, it's perfectly, all the different barrels are set. So it's perfectly will aim at each individual person, no matter where they're standing.
Like if they, you guys could all stand, luckily, just one arm's length apart. This gun only works properly if you all stand just an arm's length apart. So if you could do that shoulder thing.
Half a foot to the left. Oh, hold on. Wait there.
But this kick-ass gun is one shot.
One shot only.
And then he
doesn't
have a backup gun. And he just has to kick his way out after that. Back to the kicking after this one shot.
And he drops the gun. Like, this amazing gun that maybe you could find bullets for again. But it's just like, no. I don't want this gun anymore. Like, you know, just drops it and moves on.
Carry this gun that weighs the same as, like, 5 other guns. Yeah. and it can fire once. Yeah. So 7 for me as well. I would have gone a little higher, but I gave my Adam West points away already. memorable moments.
This, I mean, honestly, it's such a forgettable movie as a whole. I mean, like, there's parts where I'll think about, like, oh, do I remember that movie that Adam West was in? I remember this guy that kept dropping the guns and stuff like that. It's those little silly things that he does a lot that I'm going to remember. But it's not a memorable style of movie, so I can only go with a 4.
I'd like to be like high on this one because I actually had a great time watching this movie. I actually really enjoyed it. But there is so much just generic crap in there. I think 3 is a more fair score than 4. So 3.
I'll go 4 only based on the fact that I'm starting to feel bad for the movie. It's certainly not memorable.
I'm going to remember all the Adam West scenes. Maybe I'll just make a fan out of Adam West. this film. I wonder if you can make a little short film out of just Adam West telling
people to go away. Texas Gladiators 2020.
I bet you his scenes will drop into something else. Yeah.
His scenes will drop into. What about that one with the bugs that we watched? His scenes will drop right into that.
I'll bet they drop into several things. Yeah.
5 for me on that one. Crazy concept.
Well, it's interesting. Like, I mean, the solar flare thing. Sure, you could probably pull that out of a newspaper at some random point. There's so much walking. There's not a lot of crazy when it comes down to it. He's a badass cop trying to save people. There's really nothing there. The fact that Adam West is in the compound and that seems to be a thing, I'll give it a 4 for that.
Yeah. I'll give it a 5 for all the things we've talked about during this, but yeah, 5. I think that's good. All right, I don't so this really have is, a lot to say.
This one is like a movie is like a combination of The Outlaw Josie Wales and Last Man on Earth and something else that I don't know. Either way, it wasn't. Nobody had a moment of inspiration where they went, oh, this is insane. We got to do this. It's so great. No, man. 4 sounds about right.
I'll go all the way up to a 5.
Really going out on a limb there.
Good work.
That brings it to a final total of 56 out of 100, which, you know, isn't too bad. putting it right between Transylvania Twist and Ski-Doo.
Yeah, it's interesting because I agree with Nick. Like, I enjoyed watching this movie, but it's so bloody generic in almost everything that it does. It's really hard to give it a high score. There's some silliness, but it's still all generic silliness, right? I mean, this is it's not like we're talking about like, oh, such a quality movie that you know you did something. No, it's just it's basic. It's your basic Boogaloo, but but it's got some moments.
Basic Boogaloo is a good way to put it.
But you know, It also, I mean, spawning a sequel called Karate Cop, I'm in for that.
No way.
Yes.
Really?
With David Carradine in a cameo appearance, no less.
Dude.
I bet they could have just edited in the same scenes from Adam West. Yeah.
Other than the fact that he dies.
I hope there's flashbacks of Adam West, though.
Who died, Adam West or David Carradine?
Adam West.
Carradine died first, didn't he?
No,
he means Adam West's character.
Character died in the movie. Like, yeah, I don't care what his name was in the movie because they didn't care what his name was in the movie.
My mistake.
Okay, well, soon enough we are going to be choosing our next season's movies. So, Jim, let's do some business, and then I'll tell folks what they have to look forward to next.
All right. Please subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and or your favorite podcast app and or any other podcast app that you're ambivalent about. Our show sponsor is We Talk Podcasts. They have a website, wetalkpodcast.com, that is the home of the Octagon, where we keep track of our search for the ultimate B-movie. They also have a Facebook and they have a Twitter, and we have an Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
All right. Well, season 13 continues its rapid progression towards the future of 2020 or 1999 in this case, but next we move to the year 2000 with Cherry 2000, so that should be quite something to talk about. Yes, I know Y2K is in full effect, so great. Now, what do you say? I'm just waiting for Nick to yell out gibberate.
You know, I was so excited about something else that I forgot that I had a possibility of the Gymerator. I love the Gymerator. Oh, God. I'm doubly excited now.
All right. Well, let's get to it. So, Gymerate.
All right. And Gymerate. It is Jack.
Oh, it's Jack.
Okay, well, you know, I like to go with high concept a lot of the times, and I have a couple I'm holding back, but this one's actually really simple. I think you guys are going to really like it, and I don't even know that I really need to explain much to you. I just call it Bucket List Boogaloo, because we've all have movies that's like, oh, I've been meaning to get to that for so long. It's like, oh, that's been on my list, and for some reason you never got to it. Let's do movies that we've been wanting to get to for a really, really long time, and just, yeah. Boogaloo it up.
That sounds like fun. Mm-hmm. Gimmerade.
And Gimmerade. And it is Nick.
Oh, that was good. I enjoyed that.
I swear to God, do you need a Kleenex? Do you want stuff up there? Or...
Okay, I hope I'm not giving away any trade secrets here, but a lot of our listening audience might not know. Right now, we are using a virtual octagon. The Boogie Dome has been closed, so you can't watch these movies fight it out live. And, you know, I'm missing that. So I think we need a whole season of tournament fighting films.
Interesting. Jimmery?
Come on, man.
Jim's gonna write this shit it's down like, too. While we're doing it.
Like part of me sitting there going, "Man, I love those. I want to watch those," but in a season, I'm worried it would get too repetitive. But as like just for like for myself, I think I might just watch a whole bunch of tournament fighting films, no matter what.
And
you know. Hey, does that mean we can put in what was that one? Fatal Blow or whatever it was, the Irish one again?
You're just hoping to get a higher score than Nick and me.
Irish Kumite, of course.
I think the genre is wide enough that we do not have to return to
that. I think if you had put it in and just not mentioned it, they wouldn't have remembered watching it. It is Stan.
All right. Well, I call my season Soylent Boogaloo, where the meal of the day is people, and it doesn't matter who's eating the people. It could be cannibals, it could be an object that, you know, doesn't move, you know, an inanimate object. Anything that eats people is what I'm looking for in this season.
And I wonder if we could get a recipe sponsor.
recipe right, for and, long pig.
the other white meat. all right, my turn. Many people who achieve a bit of fame in another spot in life make a play to be in a film. We had what's his name, the radio host, a couple of seasons ago.
Shadow Stevens. That's right.
Shadow Stevens. I call the so the celebrities, so they could be reality TV shows, they could be sports people, they could be from anything that's outside of making movies and TV. I call this 85 minutes of fame.
Now, is it that they have to only be in one?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Just okay.
How big a role in the film do they have to have?
I'll go with it doesn't have to be their only thing, but they should be the star. Like it shouldn't be a cameo. Okay. Like really, we're really talking about like Shadow Stevens, where he just made the one. He only made one movie, but he was really famous for other things.
But you know, if it's a cameo and it's O.J. Simpson, I think it should be bumped up a little bit.
OJ has starring roles.
OJ, absolutely.
Oh, does he?
OJ has starring roles, dude.
Yep. Ooh, I'm going to have to look into that on my own.
Okay, you never started seeing Capricorn 1?
Nope.
See, oh, wow. Yeah. Based on
a true story.
Yeah, it is, as far as I'm concerned.
It's interesting because I can see like there's certainly black exploitation and stuff like that, but, you know, where you get these guys that kind of come out. It'd be interesting to kind of wrap my head around it.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of work, but fun. So, of your three ideas, it's my vote. Is what you threw out there, Jim?
All right. I think I would go with Soylent Boogaloo as my vote. Mm. I love I love seeing people get eaten by stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's no question about being eaten.
So Jaws counts then.
Sure. Yeah.
But some, sharks. We could do Jaws 4. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Jaws isn't going to do great on the octagons. I mean, yeah. that it could work doesn't really sell it.
But Jaws 4.
Actually, I wonder how Jaws would do. It's certainly for memorable moments, it would get a 50.
It's true. That's true. More heart than budget, it would do really well. But I think it's. Yeah. I think.
Yeah, not many WTFs. Maybe the
kept. It's got a couple. It's got a couple. Yeah.
It's got a couple. Yeah.
Okay, I would...
Way to stay focused, guys.
Yeah, I am going to vote for Jax. So it's going to come down to Nick. Whatever Nick picks,
yeah,
is going to
win. Have you ever had it where every single season got one vote?
I'm tempted to go with Stan, but... I also recognize the fact that one can go so incredibly wrong and I end up watching something that'll scar me for life. So
I thought that was the point.
That's a selling point.
Though. Yeah, totally.
not for this season. I think Jim's is the way I'd like to go.
All right.
85 minutes.
That's two in a row.
I thought I was bringing the weak sauce, but apparently it was.
I thought mine was one that you guys would really like, just chance to knock off some films that you've been wanting to watch and keep forgetting about.
The problems that I had, the problem that I had with yours, Jack, was just the fact that we've had these seasons before that lack these through lines, something that correlates them to each other.
Now,
and that's a struggle for me.
But that was back when we were having to do modifiers.
Yeah, I know, but I still think
even the films though is just like it's the potpourri season. Yeah.
Yeah. My only problem with Jim's ultimately is the fact that it's just like, I'm just worried about finding some of these films. It'll probably get easier as we start to look, but I do get excited about it. I could easily get excited about both of them, no questions about it. So I mean, either way, we're winners either way.
Yeah, you know,
the real winners are our listeners.
Right. Yes.
We wouldn't want another season like that potpourri season and Enter the Octagon where we got four of our top 10 movies of all time. We want to avoid that.
But each one of them had its own theme. So it was actually a season of movies.
Okay, whatever. Some of the other potpourri seasons have done well as far as...
But not all eight of them. We can get some bad. But I know it's the same thing for every season, but it doesn't really matter. But anyways, next episode is Cherry 2000. Does anybody have anything left to say about Omega Cop?
I am going to watch the sequel if Jim will find it for me.
Yeah. I love that there's a sequel to an Omega movie.
I love that there's a sequel to a movie seven people saw. And, that's the best
part. And the best part that it's called Karate Cop. Like it's not even like you carried on with not that there's much after Omega, but it's just like not like Omega Cop and Karate Cop. See, he proved that he really doesn't like guns because now he's Karate Cop.
Just leaning into it there.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap this up and go home. So, for Jim and for Jack and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thank you for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Imagine a world devastated by an environmental holocaust.
There's been a solar flare. Everything's fouled up. We're sealing off the bunker.
A future where human life is bought and sold.
145 going once. 145 going twice. Sold to the man in the back there for 145.
A time when a small police force struggles to maintain justice.
Remember our priorities. One, don't get put down. Two, release the hostages. And three, if you can, capture the leaders.
All right!
But the enemy is winning a battle of control.
I want to show everyone who is controlling this city.
It's not over yet!
I want this glass filled with Travis's blood.
Travis's blood. Travis's blood. Travis's blood.
You can go to hell.
Now, only one tough cop remains to serve and protect.
Just stomping out roaches.
And to stop a madman's bloody reign of terror. He's declaring war. Martial arts superstar Ron Marchini teams up with the original Batman, Adam West, in this action-packed sci-fi thriller.
Blow the bunker.
He's a one-man army battling the forces of evil.
Now I'm gonna send you to hell.
Meet the future of Law and Order. Meet Omega Cop. And you can fire up sales and rental action with some sizzling incentives on this all-new release. For every special Omega Cop pre-pack you buy, you'll save a total of $20. Plus, you'll receive 500 video tote bags absolutely free. Get ready, because the action is heating up this summer from Southgate Entertainment.